Just wondering, has anybody seen or heard of John Rapers? Because I saw him last night and he was coming tonight. And he hasn't put any apologies in, that's not like him. No? I think he'll be all right joining in a while if we don't. Good evening, everybody. Good evening to the new members particularly. Welcome. We're very informal on here. First names, if I can remember all the new people's first names, and if you can't remember mine, that's probably an advantage for you. We just work on the basis of discussion as much as possible. We get through the formal bits, and officers give me a nudge when I've forgotten to move something or do something that should be done in the formal procedure. But we try and get through it and look at what we can be doing and what we should be doing. And it's changed over the last 3 years, I think, from being a committee where people didn't want to go to a committee where people do want to go. So somebody said, oh, you've achieved it now. And I said, no, we haven't achieved it now. We're on a journey to try and get it better and better and better. So any suggestions that anybody has, and that includes officers, new members, auditors, anybody else that's got any ideas as to how we could run scrutiny better, other than just change the chair as being a sort of obvious solution, can we have the suggestions from you, please? Moving on to the agenda, emergency evacuation procedure. I haven't seen any faces here that don't know their way under such circumstances in and out, so we'll leave that. Apologies for absence.
Well, we've had apologies from Councillor Brackstone and Councillor Bailey.
And we'll leave John Raper to the end of the meeting to see if we hear from. Minutes of the meeting held on the 17th of April.
Looking at the attendance, Chair, I think I'd better propose that those minutes are accurate.
I'm thinking, Chair, that we're probably down. I think we're probably down to you and me, so, yes.
I think given what happened on the night,
If you propose and I'm happy to second, whichever, yes. Thank you. So we need to put that to the vote, but I suspect it will be on that basis, 2-4 and a handful of abstentions. Perfectly as predicted. Urgent business. I have no urgent business. So there'll be nothing to come up later in the meeting unless somebody comes up with anything. Chair's announcements. Joss, what was there? There was something that I had to have done at this point. I'm doing quite well, really. I've got on to item 6 without having dropped a clanger, so... Yes, please.
Good evening, everybody. The Chair was going to announce that I'd sent an email round to all the members just to explain that we have everyone active, our leisure service provider, attending the next meeting to give their annual report. And at the last time they came to a meeting to give their annual report, the members of the scrutiny committee at the time said they wanted some additional information, but we weren't sure what additional information that was. So it was the opportunity for members to tell me in advance, is there anything you're particularly interested in or you'd like the annual report to focus on more? And I've got the opportunity to go back to our leisure provider and ask them to make sure they include that within the report.
Anybody, any... Good evening, John. No problem. Any thoughts, comments? Any thoughts or comments in relation to that? I've got one, and that is in relation to... I keep hearing that things... With any organisation, you'll get this. This isn't right. That isn't right. And it's part of the sort of complaints process. And I asked Will this morning what happens with complaints. And he said, we hand them on to everyone active. And I would like in their report, so a little bit more detail if we could, on what complaints they've had. And I'd also like us to keep a weather eye on what complaints go past us to see if they fit in as a little sample of what go direct to everyone active. I suspect people complain at the swimming pool or at the leisure centre as to what the problem is. But just to have a clue as to whether we're saying, well, hang on, they haven't had any complaints on this. And all four we had in the first half of this year were all on that, etc. Just as we are overall responsible for it. But that's the only thing that I would like added to it. I don't want a several hundred page report from them. I'm perfectly happy with the report they produce. Anybody else, anything to add on it? John?
Code of conduct. I have a membership with Everyone Active.
Fine.
It's not prejudicial, I would have thought.
Yeah. Can we pop that back into the minutes? I think that's it. I have nothing else. To announce under that that isn't picked up later on in the agenda. Thanks, Josh. Audit items. External audit progress report 18-19, interim audit findings, page 17.
Thank you
page
very much.
Seven, sorry.
Thanks. Thank you, Chair. I'll lead on this if I may, and just for new colleagues on the committee. I'm Gareth Mills. I'm the engagement lead from Grant Thornton, the council's external auditors. To my immediate left is Talina De Soysa. So Talina's the manager for the audit, and then just to the left of Talina is Greg Charnley. So Greg's our audit in charge and leads the audit work on a day-to-day basis here on site. And Greg led the interim audit, and indeed he's currently dealing with the final accounts audit, which is taking place this month and next month. So if members of the committee could just turn to page 9 of the pack or 3 of our report. Those of you that were on the committee back in April will be aware that we brought some initial findings of our interim visit up until the beginning of April to the committee in the middle of April, and said that we'd have a detailed report to this committee once that interim audit work had concluded. We've now completed that interim audit work. Myself and Talina met with Anton to feedback on that, on the findings from that review, and they are included in this paper. So we've discussed the paper with Anton as Section 151 officer, and it's also been shared with Stacey as the Chief Executive, and we agreed that report last month in order to bring it to this committee. I think, obviously, there are some recommendations arising from that interim audit visit, and I'll talk through those in a little bit more detail in a moment. And they have, some of them have had implications in terms of our audit risk assessment for the accounts audit that's currently in progress. And there may be, as a result of that, some sort of additional audit work to get that assurance that we need over certain areas that we've highlighted where those issues have been reported. Clearly, all of our audit work will conclude towards the end of July, and at the next meeting of this committee on the 24th of July, we'll be bringing our ISA 260 audit findings report, which is the key report that we issue every July to inform our opinion on the accounts that we intend to issue by the end of July. So just sort of turning over the pages, we've got an action plan that starts on page 5, highlighting in total 7 recommendations. So the first couple are in respect of the payroll system, around sort of monthly reconciliations and some enhancements to controls around starters and leavers. And obviously on each of these there's a response from the management team and an implementation date and a responsible officer for them. Over the page we've got ones around signed cheques in terms of the cash in bank review that we did, but that's already been implemented. We've got some suggestions around enhancing the controls around any journals that are subject to recoding. We've highlighted some of the key governance documents of the council that probably warrant a review and a potential update. Recommendation 6 on page 7 is around sort of enhancing the communication and monitoring of the service level agreements between the council and the county, and indeed Scarborough, who obviously deliver certain key services on behalf of Rydale. And again, there's some recommendations on the three bullets on the left hand side there, which we're aware you know, that the council is taking appropriate action in relation to. And then the final recommendation was around the finance team itself and the production and requirements of the year-end accounts audit. And again, responses have been received from Anton and his team, and we did receive the draft accounts at the end of May in line with the agreed timetable. And again, we're aware that the council is looking at the sort of resourcing of the finance function as we move into 1920. So I think overall it was a very productive interim audit visit from our perspective, Chair. Obviously it's our first year as auditors, inevitably fresh pair of eyes and all that type of thing, that there will be things that come out of that review. As I say, we've raised them and discussed them with Anton on the team. They've been accepted. We're aware that actions have been taken on a number of the recommendations already, and that others are in progress. And we are currently, as I say, delivering that year-end accounts audit. Let's turn that off. It might. Mind. We'll try to answer. Thank you very much. Thank you, Chair.
Anything to add at this point or questions? Questions, anybody? Well, I've got two. If you want the question, do you want questions now or later? Looking through your recommendations, you go on halfway down the second paragraph. It says, the service provider, we understand, is mainly due to the council not receiving the completed starter and leaver forms. Page 11 of the main report and page whatever of your... Yeah. Which council? Would they not come from Rydale?
It's provided by the county to Rydale.
So they're notified, as we understand, through the HR platform. The actual processing notifications would come back from county, post-processing into the system to Rydale.
Yeah, please answer.
So I think in terms of who the council there is, that's Rydale, isn't that? That's right. It's Rydale Council who will review and make sure that we have the proper processes in place, that when we receive the forms from the county that we're taking appropriate action.
Okay, so if we have somebody who starts or leaves, filling in a starter or a leaver form at that point, do we not know who started and left? I'm kind of just, well, if we do, why are we waiting for a form to come from county? I know I'll get to understand this eventually, but at the moment I am, to say the least, confused as to how we can be waiting for the county to tell us something that we already know, or that I would have thought we already knew.
control weaknesses here at Rydale?
I understand why we need to know if somebody's joined us or left in pure monetary terms, if nothing less. But I don't understand how a line manager here in this building can take somebody on into their team or say to somebody, no, thank you, and then leave. How it can be us not informing the county? How it can be us not informing the county? And we've got a system that's got such into an interesting tangle. Is anybody else confused, or is it just me?
I don't think it's a weakness of import on the leader side. I think that's fair. I think it's a more weakness that we're not informing. It's a weakness that it's not processed, and therefore the payroll is still being processed, and it's a monetary weakness rather than not informing them. It's the fact that the payroll could continue to be processed, and therefore Rydale's having an impact financially.
It's not evidence.
Yes, I've got that it's not evidence, but the evidence is sitting here before it even goes to the county. I'll leave it. I'll sit down with Anton and he can sort of hit me with a lump hammer and get through to me where I'm missing it.
Can I have one last try?
Yeah, please.
So we know at Rydale who our starters and leavers are. We inform county. What we're not doing is checking that the payroll is correct with reference to that. So we told them they left, but we're not checking that they've not stopped paying them.
So who fills in the completed starter and leaver form?
I don't know.
Because I would have thought it was sensible for this council to be filling in the starter or leaver form if they have, in which case, if this council is filling in the starter or the leaver form, this council can't be at fault for not receiving the starter or leaver form, because that's what it's filling in. I know not. If there is a problem there, get on and sort it, but this doesn't quite tell me how it's working.
You might need slightly reworded in the middle of that paragraph, Chair, because I think the issue is that the HR people here at Rydale have the information, is the loop background with the sort of financial side of it being appropriately.
Yes. I can well believe that is the problem, but if you are outsourcing something, by definition, that's where it goes wrong. But it shouldn't be going wrong if it starts here, to us not getting it back, because we should have a copy, or it should be into our systems from here. I'll leave that one, because otherwise we'd be here for some considerable time on it. Well,
I'm sorry, Chair, if I may. I was absolutely clear, I thought, what was going on until about 40 seconds ago. Just in simplistic terms, this is not an information issue, it's a process issue. So the information goes through to them. It is then that their process doesn't feed it back to us in a timely... Is that... Because that's what I understand.
Yeah,
fine. That's fine. I've got it now. Thank you.
From here, you informed them somebody has left.
Yeah.
Fine. So it's the way that it's what they do with it that's causing the problem coming back to us.
Correct.
Right, fine.
So I leave you with the thought, when you sort it out, if we have to receive that information, we've already got it. Because we're fitting it in at this end. So there's something wrong there, except what it is, that it's a communication I've got going out. But something appears to be going around two loops, the HR loop and the payroll loop. When I leave a question, does it need to go around either of them in terms of checking it? Because we should know what we've done here. My next point, which I hope is considerably less contentious, and I didn't realise that one was going to be contentious, is you say under governance documents, and I'm very impressed, it's taken us 10 years to come to where you've got in here, that a lot of the... policies are whistleblowing, last reviewed in 2006, code of conduct 2010. We have found two more, one that the scrutiny committee did last year, and that was climate change, which is desperately urgent, was last put on the shelf 2010, was it, John? I think 2009, 2010, somewhere there, and had had nothing done to it since. And the one for later on in the agenda that appears, that Tony looked for me today, was the equalities policy. And I don't think that has had seen the light of day worth the light in the last 5 years. And the policy was last reviewed. Oh, quite. And the policy was last reviewed when? September 2010. And, you know, you're there in a few months to where we've taken some considerable years to find. Further down under the service organisations, and this takes us back to Everyone Active, when we looked at their service level agreement, and a document there had been in existence for, I think, 4 years, hadn't been signed. The service level agreement hadn't been signed. Can we, and I'm putting the we in a members in the direction of audit officers or whatever, have copies of the service levels agreements referred to under the service organisations? And can we have a copy of the in the resourcing in the accounts production team? North Yorkshire Council was obtained as part of the collaborative agreement. Can we have a copy of that as well? And it might give us a better chance of understanding the loop that we may not have been aware about in terms of signing on and signing off, etc. It may be wonderfully efficient, it may be spot on, it may be the right way to do everything, but if we don't know, it might not look right. I have nothing else other than those comments. Anybody else? Will?
Just a very simple question. Again, I'm on the service organisations. I think the statement there, council review all key SLAs and ensure they're all agreed and signed, is absolutely key. And given where we started this process 12 months ago, I think that really powerful little sentence in its own right.
Yeah.
Just to confirm, the timescale on that, Anton, is to do all those through 2019 and 2020. Is that right? Implementation date and responsibility on the right of that. So we're actually saying, and I'm not being critical, I just wanted to understand, we're going to review those over the next 2 years. It's not something we're going to do in the next 2 weeks or the next 2 months because it's not physically possible.
So I think R1 is ensure all service level agreements. That's by the end of July.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's
fine. Just
so
want to understand what that timescale is.
So by the time they bring the final version, we should be able to say all done.
Right.
Okay.
Sorry, it's me that's been stupid. Sorry, I'm just not cross-referencing. I'm looking straight across, not down the page. I apologise. I'm being thick.
Could I also request, Anton, if they are being rehashed and renewed to be signed, can we see what they were as well as what they have become when they've gained the signature? That's what we were wanting with Everyone Active. Any more? Impressive, isn't it? They're here a few months and they find out things that have taken us 10 years to go, oh look, auditing looks good, it really does.
Well, I have to say,
a fresh pair of eyes.
Engagement and from our time seeing, as you say, we've only been here for 6 months, so
yeah.
A bit longer. We're enjoying the audit. Obviously, the bulk of our audit work is this month and next month, Chair.
Any more? Anything further? It's the usual statement applies.
If it's all right, Chair, we'll stay for the AGS and then we perhaps might.
I think that's very, no, I think that's very sensible. That is an area that I think needs looking at very closely from an auditing angle. Right, do we have to do anything or just note the external audit progress report? I suspect we ought to do that. Yeah, we'll just note it. Those in favour and those against, noting.
It's unanimous.
Thank you. Anton, the floor is yours, sir.
Thank you. So this is the draft annual governance statement. Firstly, apologies that there's no cover sheet for this. I did do one. I just forgot to send it to Will. And the cover sheet was one side, which said asking two things, really, asking members of the committee to note this, but also, more importantly, to ask you to consider anything you would like to add, amend, whatever. So there is a kind of box at the top, because this formed part of the draft accounts that have been published. We will finalise this by the end of July as part of the final accounts. Often at this stage, we haven't really progress this, so it's, I think last year we at this stage we sent you something which was almost identical to the year before, but we've been working on this, and this does have some suggested changes to it. The format is very much the same. The first few pages are factual, they're updated, they will be updated with additional information, for example, from internal audit once they've finished their annual report. We'll update things like number of complaints and so on. The main section, I mean, I'm interested in your views on the whole thing, but the main section where I'm interested are where it's called Key Issues, which is on page 24 of the pack or page 8 of this particular report. We've highlighted a number of key issues across the council. Be interested in your views as to whether those are the key issues for us in terms of concentration on governance issues. Some of those, well, the first one is very, is something that I suspect we will have in some version every year, which is around about financial management and financial control. The other ones are largely new, but they will be areas I think you're familiar with, so I'm looking for some comments on those. The other thing to say is the final report that we'll bring in the discussions with the chair, we will bring a kind of reconciliation with the annual governance statement for the previous year to show, if you like, progress against that. But for this, I'm looking for anything, either now or in the next 2 or 3 weeks, any suggestions that you may want to see for inclusion.
Thanks, Anton. Thoughts, comments, things to add, things to take away?
Thank you, Chair. Very, very clearly placed in front of us as to what we're doing, where we are, and how we're going to move forward. One little thing that I would like to ask if can be looked at and taken forward is our local plan. It's 6 years old. Eight. Needs to be ongoing, in my opinion, as to what is in it, how this information can be collated, can be gathered up as we move along. I'm pretty sure it'd be able to be made into the process to join it in and to take any suggestions or ideas that come forward whilst the plan is active, and then at some point be able to be fed into the local plan without really going and breaking into a sweat with ourselves in so doing, that good practice evolves occasionally, or sometimes it comes from on high where it's mandatory from a government stance because they've changed policy or the change of government. It needs to be flexible and adaptable, and I don't see a mechanism in there. We come to the end of the plan and it's reviewed and it's statutory in a sense, and then we have to all hold on to our seat pumps and do a review. Why can't the review be ongoing throughout the lifetime of the plan is what I'm asking, and that anything that comes up then can be fed into it and it can be adapted and modified as we go through the plan.
Can't catch a single officer's eye wanting to answer that so far, John.
The officer that could answer that isn't present.
Well, quite. That's right. That's the point.
Mr. Housen.
I think it may well be worth Anton taking that idea away. Until you said review it on an ongoing basis, I was sitting here thinking, but it's in here. It's down here as such. I don't think you can. And that's only a non-planning view, because about 6 months ago, maybe less, we put forward a proposal for a change to the sill. And we were told we couldn't do it at that point. It would have to wait until the review. So maybe there is a case for doing a halfway house if you can't do it other than at the five-year point. I think you can if the wheels fall off, but it's got to be something fairly heavy. Maybe...
It isn't made for scrutiny, what is?
No, but maybe you could have things accumulating and checking that the plan is fit for purpose on a timescale. I don't know. I've no idea, and my planning skill and knowledge, I think anybody on planning must have done something wrong in a previous life, so I try and avoid it as much as I can. I don't think we can take that any further, John, at this point, as long as we've got a note of it and Anton take it on board to take to the higher levels of management. Yeah. Any more? Any other suggestions?
No. I was only going to. Sorry, Chair. Like you, I'm no expert, but my recollection is that once the plan is adopted, we've always been told that is the plan, and it is the plan until the next formal review stage. Is my understanding of what we've been told? I may be completely wrong.
I think you, from being on the Minerals and Waste Plan,
yes,
sitting watching that, I think you can review it earlier than the formal date. But you've got to have a crisis or a reason for doing it, etc. But I like John's idea of letting things accumulate and looking at them as you go on.
It may well be that we can put a...
It's almost monitoring the plan rather than putting housing applications and schools applications and everything into it, just monitoring it on a biennial basis. And it is biennial, just not biannual, because... because Joss got it right, the biannual review is twice a year. Do it on every 2 years or so. What are we doing? How's it working? Whatever, so that people have fresh in their minds where they are for what we might need for their review.
We are doing that currently with our finances.
Yes, exactly.
And I don't see the difference between the finances and the plan, and the way that the plan is implemented and utilised. And administered. The plan is vital for us for the district, for the development of whatever we need to develop within the district. And things change as time goes on, and there's no flexibility in that plan. And that's my problem with the plan. It's inflexible. It cannot adapt and react. One of the key things at the moment is the Hackitt review on buildings, high-rise buildings. I've just signed up to go to a seminar up in Durham shortly. And the view is that individuals shouldn't be doing building control. It should be done through an authoritative organisation like our LABC. And that has come out because of people dying. But a plan does have a statutory function, and the statutory part of it does make it inflexible. It binds it. And that binding, I think, on occasion needs to be, we need to ask, can it be loosened so that we can review and renew and revitalise that plan as and if and when it's necessary. And at the moment, as you say, we can't. And I think that's detrimental to plan per se and to the people out there that want to go and do development.
I think my bit of planning memory is that it is something like a 25-year plan, but that we are allowed to review it at the five-year point. But I think that length of that time is well worth questioning, or what we can do, if anything, in between. Anything more on any more? It's been awkward. I've got a couple of comments. Anton to come, but I'm... Yeah. I've changed the order of these because I did have climate change down and needs to be in here. And then I thought, oh no, we also need to review the council plan, the council's priorities and where that fits. And I don't think the review of the council plan is in here, is it?
Not a specific key issue.
But if you're going to have governance, do you not need to know where you're going and have your policies in line to fit in with where you are going? That's just a thought to let mull. Everybody's saying we need to review the corporate priorities and the corporate plan and whatever, and I can't see where else it would fit in better than this, but there may be something, because that's, you know, an off the top of the head second thought. The first thought was the policy we found as 10, 11 years, whatever it was, out of date, that we have updated, and it's all nice and shiny and new, and thanks to Josh for a massive amount of work on that. That is probably the most up-to-date plan the council has got. But we can't put it into here under fitting in because we haven't reviewed the council plan to lift that up in priority. And the council plan, if you look at the end of the annual governance statement, it says economic development. Quite happy. That's part of our corporate plan, is economic development. But far more urgent than that, and got to be included in that, and included in everything we do, has got to be climate change. So I would suggest that we have some wording, Anton, i.e. we consider putting reviewing the council plan into here and priorities that go with that, and that climate change is looked at in terms of how that fits into the council plan and delivering climate change and needs to go in there as an urgent thing, as urgent as the local plan, waste recycling, all the other issues you've got here. So I have no negatives to the issues you've got here, but I've got those two thoughts, and I had the carry forward from last time. And thank you for using the phrase reconciliation, because when my other half came in, having walked past the cattle in a field, I said, have you done a bovine reconciliation? And to which she goes, what? I said, have you counted the cattle? because I've now learned that it isn't counting cattle. I have been trained by Anton that it is a reconciliation. And, you know, thank you to the accountants for giving me a guidance in this area, because up until for the last God knows how many years I've been counting cattle, I now realise that is completely wrong. Reconcile to that, yes, exactly. So, can I move that we note the annual governance statement and that we ask the strategic management team, and Anton in particular, or Anton on his own, whichever, is it you in charge of it as such?
I'm just holding the ring on this one.
Yes, well, which would be best for the minutes? I need help here.
I would.
Not.
You can ask me, and I'll make sure.
Right. So could we bovine reconciliation? It's hard work, this, you know. Can we note it and request that Anton looks into, including in the annual governance statement, the list that we've already had? Because I don't think there's anything that anybody around the room was disagreeing with any of those. So if we have that list, and we'll leave it to Will and the tape to produce the list of what we've discussed. So I'll move that. Thank you, John.
Unanimous.
Thank you all. Well, you've seen the entertainment. Were you liking to go and see? No cricket highlights or anything to watch now? Yeah, sure. Yeah. Thank you all very much.
Yeah,
no, much appreciated. Right. Thanks a lot. Item 9, attendance at policy committees. And we seem to have done surprisingly well so far, because we've had two policy meetings so far before we've making a decision tonight as to how we do it. And I will come back to that after Simon's report, if possible. So, Simon, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair. Just by way of brief introduction for new members in particular, part of the role of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee is to observe and scrutinise the work of the policy committees, in particular policy and resources. Also, when it's dealing with policy items, the Planning Committee as well. There's a rota that we've proposed, which is attached to this report for approval tonight, so that two or three members would go along to each meeting to observe what's going on. And in particular, when attending those meetings, you're looking to see if policy making is being done in line with some key principles which are set out on page 31 of the agenda pack. The six principles there, things like the rule of law, clarity of aims and desired outcomes, is the action being taken proportionate to the desired outcome, due consultation and advice, human rights and openness. So what the report today is basically asking is for approval of the rota for observing at policy committees, but for those members who've not been along and observed before, those principles that I've just outlined are what you should have in mind when you're observing proceedings. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Simon. Can we, is there any disagreement with what Simon has said? Sort of, I know that's a negative way of doing it, but we're all happy with what that is. And I would suggest, and I'm perfectly happy, I will be here at virtually all policy meetings. I think I've missed one in the last 3 years. So when it comes to your turn, try and sit somewhere within shouting distance, as it were, so that if there is something that needs challenge and we've got wrong, I will be able to say to you, look, what do you think? Because usually in the past, when Di and I or the previous vice chair have been at a meeting, something that's not being done right, it's fairly quick that you see it. Where's the report? How does this fit in with the law? Whatever, the list that Simon's just gone through. But when you first do it, you have no hope of spotting it because you're sort of going, what was that? How do I understand this? Etc. So try and end up somewhere within shouting distance, and then I can pass you a note saying, did you see that? Was that, what did you think of that? And then you know in your mind which bit after the meeting, so that we can then discuss whether or not we think it was right, legal, fits in with the corporate plan, etc., etc., etc. Right, now the next thing is, and I had a sort of an unfair sideswipe at the systems as we went by. We did try last year to sort it out, because if you look at this here, it kicks off on the planning committee on the 18th of June, and halfway down the list for the 25th of PNR in July. And we've had, are you with me on the form where the crosses are? Now, the first meetings that PNR have had, one was last week and one was a fortnight or whatever before that. Unfortunately, we decided at a previous meeting of scrutiny, decided but didn't feed into the system. Presumably, we didn't tell North Yorkshire and the system didn't get back to us, that this system here is just the alphabet. And the suggestion is that, well, as accepting Simon's proposal tonight, that in future, each year, the system starts off with alphabetical order, 3 people for P&R and 2 for planning, so that it can just go into the system and come out, it's there. So even if people are on scrutiny, new to scrutiny, next year when the committee places are all, because the council meeting that we all enjoyed the other week, you've all got another one to go through next year, and you can all sit there and think, oh no, why did I ever bother to come here? But you will know this is just a system, and I don't think it needs anything else. Has anybody else any thoughts on that? I'm looking to the people who've been in here longer, because I haven't seen any... Yes, John?
The pragmatic is, if there's a planning observation to be done, the part that's going to be requiring your attention will be usually the first item on the agenda. And after that, you can go home. You don't have to sit there and be bored. I never find planning boring anyway.
Except for next Tuesday's planning meeting that has a policy item on it at the end of the meeting. And I've looked at that this morning. I don't think it's anything that can go wrong, because I think it's an instruction from government on extension, the size of extension that can be built. Without a planning consent, yes. So I don't think it's anything that can go wrong, as long as we actually, when we come to allowing people to build extensions, they can build them to that size, which is nothing to do with scrutiny. Yeah. So we need a wording to say that in future, the observation of attendance at policy committees will be on an alphabetical rota. That's probably all that's needed, is it not? And then this can be produced in the line of whoever is on the scrutiny committee next year and the year after and.
So just to clarify, if I may, Chair, officers will just produce the rota straight after annual council, circulate it round to scrutiny members, and we won't bring a report similar to this in future years?
That's right. And as was done by Will at my request this year, because we've had this discussion last year, I don't know whether you were at that meeting, we don't. We had the discussion, but didn't actually put it into the system. So the system just carried on as it was, because we spotted this problem before it happened and we weren't quick enough or clever enough or something else. Right, I think that's the end of that. So can I move that we adopt this here and that we request that in previous years the observation is the attendance, I'm using their words, the attendance of policy committees is decided on an alphabetical rota.
It's unanimous.
That's all right. I thought for a second we had two people not. We had a nice row of green here and two not. Lovely. Thank you very much. Thank you, Simon. Appointment of the Corporate Governance Standards Subcommittee. That a Corporate Governance Standards Subcommittee be established comprising of three members of the Overview and Scrutiny and one substitute, drawn from across the political groups on the Council as far as reasonably practicable. My understanding of this and the practices of this is that all subcommittees on this Council are chaired by the Chair, and we have put in there scrutiny, another thing that we've done without asking the powers that be permission, and that is we've put in a substitute. And next week there is a Constitution Working Party, and I will be suggesting that this is a little twiddle make to the Constitution, because you need three, and I'm looking at the three new members, when you have a subcommittee that meets, and any other meeting, the council's bigger, but any committee like this, you've got to have three people there. If you only have three people on the subcommittee, that slightest hiccup, somebody ill, somebody on holiday, somebody whatever else, if you don't have a substitute, that subcommittee can't function. So, and across the political groups on the council, as far as reasonably practical, and by definition, you can't get very far with making it politically proportionate with only three. So on that basis, we're looking for two other members of the subcommittee, not a Liberal, but and two separate parties for those two, and that's the best I think we can get. Now let me tell you a little bit about the Corporate Governance Standards Subcommittee. It is the committee, and Di's been on that longer than I have, I think. And you've had a hearing once, didn't you, twice? Yeah. Correct me as I go along, or add or subtract. If a councillor breaks the code of conduct, the first thing that happens is that the person who is saying, you can refer yourself, but the normal thing is somebody else to say, that councillor has broken the code of conduct. It is then referred to the monitoring officer, Anthony Winship, who sat behind you, and he then looks at it with an independent outside person. I think they're actually called the independent person. And they then discuss it, look at it, and if there is a case to be built up, then it's taken further and they look at it further, and then it can go to this committee that we're setting up tonight for them to look at it and consider the case for or against the person that is there. Now, bluntly, the people who need to be trained on that and will need to be trained on that if we have one of those needs to happen to those three people. There's absolutely no point in everybody getting training on it. But those four people now, so myself and two others plus a substitute, will need to be trained on it. I think that's everything. Anything else you've got on it? No. No. Right. In which case, have we any nominations? I'll second that if we're looking to get it done. So that's one Liberal Democrat. We can now ideally do...
Could I ask a question? Is the training during the day?
And I have no idea. We'll fix training up.
And are the meetings usually at night or
during
the
fix
day?
I have a very simple belief on this council. It is an evening council. Okay. People have work in the day. Council meetings should be in the... If you have a working party of three people doing something and all three of them are on shift and all three of them aren't working on a Wednesday afternoon, hold it on a Wednesday afternoon. But when you're inviting people to come along too, this is an evening council and everybody knew that when they stood for election. So as far as I'm concerned, any training would need to be evening provided. Yes, this is an interesting thing, the conversation of how are you going to get it proportionate, and my response was I shall be very pleased when we've got all four people lined up volunteering and or whatever. Die. Yes, we still need a substitute. We've got to three. We still need a substitute. And
can I nominate Councillor Will Oxley?
I've got a nomination. I've got a nomination.
Sadly, I think that destroys the political proportionality. Die. Yeah. Hence my silence first time round.
Can I? There is another way of doing the substitute that will does fit in with proportionality, but stretches it a little bit. I've asked Carrie if she would be a substitute, but that would only be for me. In other words, if I am being operated on, being in Botswana, whatever else, then she would be a substitute for me. Right? But you then need a substitute for you two, unless you two do a swap, or you do a substitute for one of those two, etc.
If I may, Chair, that just seems to add another number to the training and make it a bit more complicated.
It also gives us a bit more flexibility.
I've got no objection.
No. I'm just trying to find a substitute. But it does make it messy if your substitute lifts one of the groups up to...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ideally it would be somebody who was neither a Liberal Democrat or a Conservative, wouldn't it, as the substitute? Not focusing on anybody.
I'd like to nominate Councillor Rain.
I'll second that. Yeah. Good. That's my ideal. So as we have no other nominations, unless we have any other nominations, we can do that election, unlike the full council, we can do it on block and move on. Are we all agreed? Yeah. Oh, whatever. Please vote.
That's unanimous, Chair.
Lovely. Thank you, Will. Is this your show, Tony?
Yes, thank you, Chair. The paper you have before you, members, is the fourth quarter report on progress on delivering the council's council plan, and it identifies the status of the key performance indicators, comparing actual indicator results with those of the target for 18-19, i.e. ending March 2019. The report itself is at Appendix A and shows an overwhelming number of green indicators. However, there is one indicator which is of red status and three which are amber. Of the three which are amber, two of those are in fact less than 0.1% below or above, depending what the indicator is measuring, the target, so very marginal. The red indicator, which is an indicator for the percentage of customer complaints resolved within five working days, a more detailed explanation is provided for that particular indicator at Appendix 2. Hopefully members will have had the opportunity to read the report and the detailed explanations as to why some of the indicators are slightly below the target. The recommendations, Chair, is twofold. First of all, to note the progress and the high number of PIs that are performing above target, and to note the specific actions for which the four indicators with either amber or red have been identified. Thanks, Chair.
Any comments? Well,
on the customer complaints, the second, the red issue. Having been throughout my career in roles where you do things that customers complain about to you, I have a very simple question. Are we being realistic in terms of? Yeah, or are we just setting ourselves up to fail with the system that we have? It's probably an unfair question, Tony, given circumstances. And I'm really not looking for an answer. I just want to pose the question, I think, at this meeting that says, I think that is something that somebody should look at before we beat ourselves to death.
Sure.
If I may, through you, Chair, it is a question that we are actually asking ourselves, and it's likely that we will to a revision of that, which is more manageable, but nonetheless still providing good service to customers.
Sorry, if I may, Chair, I'm not suggesting that we make it too easy. I'm simply saying that we make it realistic.
Yeah. Absolutely, Chair.
Can I throw in a thought here, if you also not the opposite of not making it too easy? I don't think this has been read for a long time before. Have we any information as to when it was last read, this one?
It has been read for probably, I think it's in quarters 2, 3 and 4. So.
Yeah, but before that, has it been read?
The last time it was read as a whole for the year was 2013-14.
Now, my feeling, if it was last read back there, is
sorry, Chair. The last time it was green was 13-14.
Right. Okay. So if it has been read for that long, then yes, we are in a need to do that. And I'd like to thank Tony for the report on it, because that gives us more information than just the three lines in the Pantano report saying this is what it is because it was raining or whatever, and we've got here a bit more meat to what we should or shouldn't do. I think it needs handling very carefully because I like complaints. I just love complaints because it tells you that the organisation is doing something, whatever the organisation is, not a council, but anything anywhere. If you're not producing any cars, not selling any cars, you don't get any complaints about the cars. Your number of complaints can go up in relation to the number of people that are involved. Just waste collection is more people involved now than it was. And you've also got, this building has had the biggest turmoil of any organisation that I have seen that hasn't then collapsed. And that is not predicting it's going to collapse, because I feel it's going in very much in the opposite direction. But it's had 3 or 4 years when it's been spiralling in the wrong direction. And therefore, I would need to know, have the resources been there to look at? Is there enough people to handle the complaints? Is there enough resilience in the system to deal with the ones? And there is a suggestion in here somewhere about the separation of complaints. There may be some, you know, any complaint involving a vehicle accident, by definition, shouldn't be in these, because you cannot sort those out in any shape or form within 10 working days, within 20 working days, etc. So I think it needs a sophisticated look at it rather than, and that's not an implied derogatory comment, it's just saying go careful with it, because once you end up with not having complaints, everybody goes along happy while the citizens of Rydale continue to mutter, but they go under the radar as far as our complaint system is concerned. I have nothing else to add to those, because I'm still hopeful that down the track we will get a much more robust performance indicators. I think that's one of the things, and I will be, and I don't know whether Joss has looked into it recently, but the performance indicators in relation to electricity used, greenhouse gases produced, etc., there's some of it. I'll give you one that's for the new people particularly. There was a target that was to improve so much on last year. So if we failed last year by 20%, the target was to do a little bit better than that, which we did, which was still a massive failure compared with the target we had originally. And then we do a little bit better than that. And then if you fail again, so a failure every so often keeps your target right down. Now, there's one of the climate change ones was in relation to that. I think it was greenhouse gases or energy used or something of this nature. And therefore, and there's a whole pile in there. And the one thing, and I'll put it on public record again, of these, and thank you, Tony, for this one, was the housing one that was highlighted by Gary Housden when he came and told us, must have been 6 months before it was going to hit a red, this is going to hit a red. And he came and told us, and this was why it was going to hit a red, and whatever, and that was superb information. And so when this year he's telling us, now this is going to be fine, we're going to overshoot, it's not going to hit the target of 70 or 75, it's going to be over 100, and it was over 100. But the same thing is, we need to look at, if we have a need in Rydale of 200 plus affordable houses a year, why have we got a target of 70 or 75? Whatever number we're making. So there may be some targets that want reviewing that we will hit red for the next however long. And then the system we have, and that's another one for the new ones. We used to get these reports on performance indicators, And if it lasted 2 minutes in policy and resources and a minute and a half in here, it was good going. Because most of them were just nodded through. And we put... Did it go to full council? I think it did, didn't it? Does anybody remember that we asked that all reds would have a report with them and all repeat ambers? I think that went through full council. So that the greens are... And I smile at the recommendation that we should congratulate ourselves on the high number of greens. I don't remember doing that before, and it feels like an interesting marketing ploy. But, right... They are high, but that's not what they're here for. Performance indicators are there to be looking at where it is going wrong. And on that basis, you're in danger of saying, haven't we done well, and there's only four that aren't green or whatever. I'm just always wary of that. But what do we do with this one? Is there anybody else? Yes, please.
Yes, I'm in... Thank you for the report about the customer complaints and the fact that it's a red one.
Yeah.
I just wonder if we've got any timescales as to when we're going to be able to deliver a more robust system in order to,
for the whole thing?
For the complaints part of it, yeah. Because obviously, it has, as we've said, it's been red for quite some time. We're looking at it, but do we have a timescale on when we might be able to get a report back to this committee saying what's happening, what's changing, and how we're going to improve what we're doing?
Yes, Chair, if I can through you. We provide a quarterly report. So this is the fourth quarter. So we're beginning to implement those changes as of now. And it would be my hope, he says, that the next quarter will start to show some changes in moving in the right direction. And certainly by the sort of second, third, fourth quarters, I would expect that to be significantly have changed.
Any more, Will?
Yeah, I take everything you've said, Chair, but I do actually feel that it is quite important that when we set targets and we agree targets, they are our targets. We've set them.
Yeah.
Therefore, when we hit those targets, I think we should say, "Yay, we've hit those targets." In a positive way. If we're worried that we're getting too many greens, then the answer is to change the targets.
I wasn't suggesting for a second that we're getting too many greens, but we are a scrutiny committee, not a congratulatory committee. And by definition, our job is to scrutinise. And yes, management and policy should be saying what they're saying here. Well done, because that's part of the policy and the driving role. Our role is to be saying, where's it going wrong? What can we do to improve? Because the combination of those two is the right way forward. Not us saying, isn't it all wonderful? And P&R trying to do a critique of it. Might happen in the corridor, but the questioning should come from scrutiny.
I understand the role of the scrutiny committee, Chair, and it is an important role, and you're absolutely right in terms of a focus, but I also think that at the end of the day, if we are hitting targets, then it's right and proper that we just say to people, well done for hitting those targets.
That's a different matter. That's saying to people, right, as individuals, that's management. I will be very, very staggered if there's a single officer in here that's looking at an area they're responsible for, one of the vast majority, the high number of PIs that are green, will feel really good and motivated because the scrutiny committee says, well done as to how many greens you've got. If the scrutiny committee has a lot of ambers over quarter after quarter after quarter, and then has a small number, then you should be saying, can we thank the officers for the improvement in the performance indicators? I think that's much my scrutiny approach. And I'm quite happy. I wasn't thinking of amending this to note the progress report and the high number of deleting the high number of PIs. I wasn't thinking of doing that. I'm just saying I think you've got to be cautious from a scrutiny angle of doing that. because we've had a long time of scrutiny stamping things as being fine. And scrutiny should be the awkward what's it's that's saying, why is this and what's that and whatever. Yeah. So I, on that basis that I'm not happy with that three numbers of greens, I'd like to add on to the recommendation, little three, to thank the Deputy Chief Executive for the report on the complaints. Have I got a second?
Well, while you're on complaints, if I may make a comment first. I'm looking on page 53 in the pie chart.
Sure.
And the type of complaint description. And some of them are a bit spurious, in my opinion.
The next report.
Is that the next report? Right, well, I'll shut up then and come
back.
Yeah,
yeah, I'm just checking with myself, because it's very easy for me to slip a cog in here. I'm on the wrong bus route, John. Yeah. So can I go back to, because this, that we add a little three, that we thank the Deputy Chief Executive of the report on complaints, because I think those reports are vital. I know it's become council policy, but I think we need to thank people for the individual report when we've got future officers coming in on a report for an area they're responsible for that's a red. They're coming in here, and we're doing the scrutiny bit. We should be thanking them for doing that. I move. Thanks, Will. Can I now move it, the recommendation, including the high number of PIs? That's the amendment. Now we have to do the whole thing. Amendment carried?
The amendment was carried unanimously.
That's the first time in 2 years I've been a step ahead of you. That must be fluke. And now the motion has amended. No, if it happens again, then, oof, dear. No.
It's also unanimous.
Thank you. Right. Customer complaints and compliments.
Thank you, Chair. I have to start with an apology to members, because I too have forgotten to include the covering report on the front of this report. So I apologise for that, having just been praised for one thing. I'm now going to be castigated for another.
And you do know what happens with that in the local magistrates' court, right? The first one is fined £5. The second offence is fined £25. And when he complains, you say, oh, no, this is the second offence we've had today.
Sorry about that.
Not a problem.
Okay, so the report, Chair and members, gives more detailed accounts of complaints, customer complaints, and also customer comments. Under the complaints section, it's detailed by services. So we've got individual services, identifies the complaints, and when the complaints were closed. On page 56, again, it's in relation to complaints. It gives both graphical and figurative representation of those. And moving on to the customer compliments, again, for the fourth quarter, 2018 to 2019, it gives the categories of the compliments, and the individual compliments are also itemised there, and the dates received. Again, looking for members to note the complaints and compliments. Thank you, Chair.
questions? No. Tell me, you've got the breakdown on page 56 of the various departments or what have we in terms of percentage answered, etc., within timescale.
Yes, Chair.
Have they put individually, those departments, have they put in any feedback as to why they're at 50%? And it's very difficult if you've only got two. You've got to sort of get the... You've got, well, not so much the detail behind it, but the two, but their experience of these were two exceptional ones, or most complaints are like this, depending on their view, because the numbers are so small that statistics are going to struggle to help in any way. Have you had any discussions and feedback as to what they're thinking, and is it just chance that some are at 100 and some are at 0 and some are at 50, or...?
I haven't had that conversation with them, Chair, but having said that, it is something that we perhaps ought to look at.
And our recommendation, if we had it, would be to note it. Any more for any more on that?
Just quickly, on the numbers of complaints from 2016-17 to 2018-19, literally it's double, the number is double almost. Is that a staffing drop-off that we had experienced in that time that has created this difference in numbers, basically?
Chair, I couldn't definitively give an answer to that because I would have to talk to each of the departments separately, but I would say that Councillor Raper is absolutely right. There has been a reduction in staffing numbers, but I couldn't actually say that it's definitely because of that.
It's interesting to know, Chairman, that we've not been had a kickback in a sense in complaint terms from the loss of numbers of staff in recent years. We have had a realignment of staff. We have noted, and it became very abundantly clear to members, that we had problems, we were experiencing problems. It doesn't seem to have resonated through to the members of the public in complaint terms. We do get complaints, and it's interesting what the complaints are and how very few of them there really are that substantiated or substantial. Predominantly, get the right word out, it is in planning that we have the majority of complaints coming through. I wouldn't expect it to be anything other than that. If we get it in other areas, then we are experiencing problems. But there's a pie chart on page 53 that gives a fairly clear indication as to the majority of where these complaints come from and the issue, as it were. And the time to resolve is admirable, I would suggest. And we've got a complaint type and then the complaint remedy. Explanation given, or an apology, or further information given to whoever it was making the complaint. Majority of the complainants, I would, if we go back to them after the event and ask them, are they satisfied with the explanation given? That would be a huge exercise. I don't suggest we go and undertake such a huge. Looking in the naval exercise, because I don't think it would produce information that would be useful and needed for us. But the complaints that we have been getting are not substantially large, in my view, and they are in the areas I would expect them to be in. and they aren't in the areas I wouldn't like them to be in, really. If you look on the right of the pie chart, you have street scene. I think some of the mitigations that street scene have undertaken recently, in that you've missed me, you've not emptied me bin, and having the technology that we've got in cab now, for each time they go and stop at a household, they press a button as to whether they've collected that bin at that household. Literally, as the van drives off down the road and the householder comes out and realises they haven't taken my bin out and they've missed it, and they ring in and complain that the bin's being missed, the technology then says to that householder, you hadn't taken your bin out. It's your fault, your problem, don't complain to us. That is live now, and very, very welcome indeed it is. It works. Experience of it working where somebody has made a complaint and the vehicle was 200 yards down the road and there was rung up straight away and said, what about so-and-so's bin? Oh, they hadn't taken it out. We'd just been passed. We took it next doors and the other both sides of the house. Out of the three houses, there were three bins supposed to be out and there was only two out and two were collected. And the one that wasn't was collected was still stood on the doorstep and not at the position it was supposed to be at to be collected. So the complaints sometimes are spurious and not to be relied on. So I welcome and accept the report, and I think it's a fairly good report, but sometimes you need to take these things with a pinch of salt, yeah.
Anybody else?
Well, can I just check something? Just following from what Councillor Raper said about the closure of complaints and us not knowing when people are happy the complaint's closed. My understanding is that we collect that information.
Yeah, I think it's here on the
it
work
is, it is, it is, yeah. Yeah, so I was just...
There is a closed date.
Yeah, I thought Councillor Raper was indicating that we didn't have to chase that in. We didn't need to waste time chasing information. My understanding is we already have that information.
We've got the closed dates on those.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, please, John, because I'm going to come back to you.
We have a closed date as to when that complaint was resolved. Mm-hmm. But we haven't asked that complaint after that. Were they completely satisfied with their explanation or the action taken by council?
I don't actually think that is too much information, because I think I ran my own complaints department when I was a junior senior manager or a senior junior management, but above middle management, but not senior. And everybody said, what are you doing that for? You want, it's a secretarial job. And I let the secretarial, the administration do, and then rang up the people who had been complaining and said, are you satisfied with the way we handle the complaint? And 9 out of 10 were, whatever. And they said, you're a senior manager. I said, well, yeah. Complaints are more important to us than normal delivery of business. Because with normal delivery of business, people have paid us the money, they've got what they wanted, and the contract is nice and happy. When you have complained, that is as important as I can get it. I can't take it. I can't get my manager, my regional manager, to pop down to see you. But as far as I'm concerned, it's important. And I think we should be doing a check on what did you think of the handling, because that might feed into Tony's suggestion of looking at this on the basis that people are saying, no, I wasn't bothered if it was done in a week. I was quite happy, and this is people who, you know, it's closed, so you can ring in randomly through. I wasn't bothered whether it was done in a week or a fortnight. But the manner was totally unacceptable. Right? Or No, it was very swift, and that was vital to me because it was the bin or it was whatever else. And I wanted it sorted then quickly. And yes, they might have been a bit brusque, or the manner might not have been too good, but bluntly, I was more concerned about getting it done quickly. You get a feedback as to which way round the public feel. No, you don't have to do them all. That might be a massive job going back 10 years doing them all. But do a sample, and if you get anything that's of interest, then carry on. And if you don't get anything that's any interest, call it a day and it wasn't worth doing. Bum? Yeah. We don't need to put that down into anything exciting here, do we? Other than the noting. Or just take it. Can you happily take it on board? Or
happy to take it on board, Chair.
Yeah, I think so. I don't think we need to.
And I'm sure Will's noted it.
Pardon?
I said I'm sure that Will has noted it.
Oh, Will will have noted it, yes. He won't want to be missing two things in the evening, will he?
No,
he doesn't. No. A compliment. What, mine or Tony's? Oh. Right, in which case can we note that report? Now, where's Confused of Crockton go now?
That's unanimous, Chair.
Thank you. Future topics for scrutiny review. We're not deciding this tonight. And we don't normally in any year decide, unless we've got something that's not quite completed from last year, in which case we haven't a decision to make. And we're particularly not doing it tonight because of the three new people, because you need to have a look at what else we've done, have a think, have a feel what people have been saying to you, how you feel about the council, what you think we maybe ought to be looking into, discuss with other members, whatever. Because we stumbled across the climate change one outside of scrutiny. That went to full council. Full council asked us to do it, and that's gone down absolutely spot on. We have struggled with looking at the service level agreements. You may have picked up from the accountants, the service level agreements and the contracts and things, and the service level agreement and the working with North Yorkshire. I view it that North Yorkshire is working for us because if we're outsourcing it to them, they're delivering, etc. But we tried to look at that, and the contracts were moving faster than we could hope to scrutinise it. So on that basis, we just said, put the handbrake on, we will come back to that. And we may be getting nearer to that. The two I'd like you to think about are one... universal credit, because we are entitled to look at anything that affects the residents of Rydale and scrutinise it. In the council, if we ask to look at somebody and look at some function of the council, then officers and outside experts and everything else are all perfectly happy to come. Universal credit will be involved talking to the job centre, and may involve writing to, etc., the DWP and saying, unfortunately, our local job centre is unable to give us this information because they're not allowed to, or whatever comes out of it. And I think that's probably a backcloth one that will take some time to get anywhere. We'll have 2 months when we're waiting for the DWP to reply to our letter, and they will then say, we have handed it to our... Freedom Information Department, or handed it to our Complaints Department, and we wait another month. And I don't want this committee to be sat for 3 months waiting while all that lot happens. The other one that I think we ought to be looking at, and it's in line with the accountant, it's in line with what we found with climate change, and that is equalities. And if you look at, and I don't know whether there's anything in here because I was stopping myself from looking at, but I don't know whether any of the reports have got in them I don't know we've got any in here, but normal reports that are going, let's not say these are abnormal, but a lot of reports that go on policy changes and things have got financial implications, legal implications. We've now got climate change implications put on them. And the other one that's been there for years is equalities. But it then doesn't say anything about what's happened with equalities. And I've made a few discreet inquiries as to when anybody last saw an equality impact assessment. And the feedback on that was, I think, two have been seen in the last 5 years. Now, that's only a sample, so it may be a few more kicking around. They are not happening. And I've asked Tony to get me a copy of the One Council for Everyone Equality Scheme, 2010 to 2013. And it was brought up to date in September 2010 and runs out in September 2013. And as far as I know, nobody's looked at it since. So I think that's when we could start turning stones over and going, hello, what have we got here? And what we normally do then is set up a working party with three people, chair, vice chair, one or two others, but completely open and not just open to scrutiny members. Because people who weren't on scrutiny last year were invited in the corridor saying, this is what we're doing, working party next week, etc. And people came along, not looking at anybody in particular, and contributed massively to the discussions. So that's two that I've got in my mind, but there must be lots of others, etc. Anybody got anything that they'd like to chuck in now, or are they going to come back at the next meeting, which is the 20-somethings of June? 25th of July, yes. Yeah. John?
On the equalities, I don't think a lot of people know what it actually is and what it means.
No, exactly.
And I think we could do with a briefing for members on this from somebody with a huge amount of knowledge on it, to impart that information through to us, open to all members of council, not just ourselves on scrutiny.
Which is what we did with the climate change.
Yeah. It's an interesting situation. It involves a lot of people with lots of different things that are not quite right with them, from physical, emotional, and mental. And it's not just... It's about a person and their holistic being, and how everybody interacts with them or avoids them. A lot of people take the easy way out and avoid. I'd like to see us do something on this, John, if we can. It's a fascinating subject if you're inclined to look at it closely. I think it would open a lot of people's eyes as it's a bit different to what most people actually think it is.
My own personal experience in that area, when I was introduced to equalities, was after we had race riots in Slough. Now, we were told by the government they weren't race riots, and it was early 1980s, so you can work out who and what. And I thought that people throwing petrol bombs was something like a riot, but apparently it isn't. It must happen in the best regulated circles without anybody minding too much. And I was trained on racial equality, and I did not realise how ignorant I was. After about an hour, I'm sitting there going, oh, I'd never thought of it like that. Oh, I'd never viewed it from that angle. Oh. And it was absolutely brilliant in educating and helping me. So, and I think there's a massive area of work in agreement with John that we could be looking at and doing. But I don't want to, you know, you're saying, yes, we sound as though we're making a decision now. I'm trying not to. I've given you two contempt. If we've got another one that isn't too big, we might decide to slot two alongside each other, whatever, depending, or bring the other one if the universal credit one drops to a halt or whatever. I'm trying to not commit myself to going, why don't we do whatever? Die.
Yeah, I'm quite keen on the equalities one as well, because I've done quite a lot of that sort of work. But I would also like to see us do something around mental health provision in Rydale, particularly with an emphasis on young people, because I am very concerned about the sparsity of such support. And I think it's a big gap, and it's a growing area of concern, so I would be very keen for us to do something in that area. But as you said, we're going to discuss it at the next meeting, but I'll throw that in now.
Can I throw a thought to you now, if we're thinking as to where we would be going? Should North Yorkshire Scrutiny of Health be doing that? And would you like me to say to them what is happening and find out from their scrutiny officers what they have done and well on that subject? Because it may be non-existent, in which case, and they may not be planning to do it, and then the idea of doing it goes up the scale. If, on the other hand, they say, do you mean one of these? I don't think they have, but they may have done one in Richmond, or they may have done one in wherever, in which case the Rydale one might be a smaller project than it sounds.
Yeah, I think that would be helpful. I mean, I understand they've done some limited work, but I think
that would be my
limited
suspicion, but I didn't want
to. And I just think there's a huge lack of provision in Rydale in a big rural area, so I
lack
think it's something we need to look at.
Yes, CAMS is hardly worth mentioning. No, I've just mentioned it. Yes.
Could I just add to what Councillor Keels just said regarding the young people and the mental health? It's a massive, massive problem in this area. And there's children, young people, waiting just to go and talk to somebody for months. And by the time they get in to talk to someone, then some of them are at, like, crisis point. So it is definitely something I would love to, like, hear and see if there's anything that can be done in Rydale, particularly, obviously.
Yeah. Well,
just a couple of thoughts based on previous work we've done. First one's a question: is the work that is being done through the health checks and things going to deal adequately with the staff appraisal mechanism in the council? Or is that
Sorry, is
the work that's been done on the health checks and things going to address all the issues to do with staff appraisal and the monitoring in the council? I've just posed a question, because if not, I think it's certainly something that we ought to be considering the way it works. I'm also highly conscious that we are in the process of putting back together an economic development team, and given the massive importance of economic development in Rydale, I wonder if there's a role for scrutiny in terms of almost in advance of how that is put together and what it is actually doing. I'm not desperately keen to discuss them in detail, John. I just want to put them on the list of things that we might think about as a role for
this. You're saying the health and well-being of the workforce.
I'm saying the use of the health and welfare of the workforce through the proper use of the appraisal mechanism within the council, and it may well be that that's a check addressed through the health checks on the governance. And the second thing is that I'm highly conscious that we're reinstating economic development in Rydale, and I just wonder whether there is a role for a scrutiny role in how that is put together and what it actually is looking and doing at, and that we are learning from mistakes of the past. It may be too broad and too. I just want to wave a flag.
I'll wave a little flag to go with that. and I said it, I won't say to whom, but I said it in here when that was mentioned to me at one of the induction meetings. I'm all in favour of economic development. One of the targets in economic development for Rydale for 16 years, to my knowledge, has been to lift up the average wage in Rydale. And now that the average wage hasn't moved a jot in 16 years, can you please tell me, not now, not this evening, not in this meeting here now either, can you tell me what we have been doing wrong over the last 16 years in economic development terms? Because it hasn't done what it was supposed to be and what was promised 16 years ago. And on that basis, that analysis would be very interesting. But I don't know whether we've got the results, etc. No, exactly.
Exactly, Chair. Just
I'm question. Getting a list now, which is good. So we've got equalities, we've got universal credit, we've got mental health for young people, we've got health and well-being of staff. There is a health and well-being group in the council, which that might be the place to put that if we don't end up looking at it, and economic development. Any more for any more? And we're going to all go away and think about this lot and mull them round. But I just thought it was worth having a brainstorming in your direction, not in mine, session to kick off with.
A thought shower, Councillor Clark.
Sorry?
A thought shower.
Yeah.
Brainstorming's not a term that's used in.
No? Oh, really? Oh. Yes, I can see with your background that's where you are, yes. Any thoughts anywhere?
Just a small one that I did wonder whether the health and well-being amongst staff might be part of the outcomes of a piece of work that we're already doing on the staff.
Yeah,
I think that might just carry on from the work that is already underway.
I don't know that it is, but there is a health and well-being group, as it were, that may well keep an eye on that, etc. I'll have a mull and I'll make a few inquiries and nudges and things around that. Any more for any more? No, that'll do us for that one. We don't have to do any noting or anything, do we, Will?
Not on this occasion,
right, fine. Good, we won't note that. We've now got the decisions from other committees, policy and resources, held on the whenever, page 69. And at least three of us went to that. Was there three, John, or four?
Three,
I think so. Have you anything to say in relation to it? No, I was happy with it. So we just note that, do we? And that's the same. You went to both of them, didn't you? Yeah. So whatever we do with one, we do with both. All right. So we don't raise them, I take it. Or do you want them noted?
That's fine.
No, fine. Good. That's them done. OS forward plan, page 71. This is a document that we've managed to find in the county, in the council, because we didn't know it was there. I don't mean it's found for this meeting, but everybody went, wow, I didn't know one of those existed, etc. And for the last, how long have we been having it now here? A year nearly? But it wasn't on any other council agenda, etc., any other committee meetings and whatever. Just to show everybody where we're going, and enable us to say, excuse me, we'd like this bit to be put in there, or can we move that bit forward, etc. And again, for the new people, it gives you some clue as to where on earth you might be going, having not thought about overview and scrutiny until you found yourself on it at this wonderful full council meeting. I personally have one suggestion, because I don't think there's any point in discussing it long and hard, is that we've got down in November, or we should have, climate change one. Thanks, Will. Implementation of the recommendations of the climate change scrutiny review. And really, I wonder whether that should be implementation of the council's scrutiny policy, because that was probably put in there when we decided it was going to be reviewed, because full council has adopted that climate policy now. But irrespective, we know what we're talking about with the title. I personally think that if we're going to do it biannually, twice a year, that the first one should come sooner than that. And I would personally like it to be at the beginning of October, and we've got two meetings in October. We've got one on the 24th and one on the 3rd. But I'm quite happy if we decided to move that to there, to give it to the officers to say, can you please move it? And if you can you move it to the 3rd of October? But if not, we'll be happy with either October one. And that will just get us into the climate change review. And this is the first one. We will then be able to see what Josh has been beavering away at doing out there in terms of making it happen. Is there anything you'd like to add to that thought, Josh? Right. So, anybody, any thoughts on that? We've got. Yeah, John. Di. Right. In which case, can we? Note the overview and scrutiny forward plan, and request that the officers move that item into the October timescale, preferably the 3rd of October. And then if Philip Spur and or Josh say, look, it's going to be better at the end of October, we're happy with that, is the gist of it. So I will move that request for that to be moved into there. Thank you. Can we go for that?
Chair is unanimous.
And that looks like the end of that agenda. Thank you all. I'm sorry if it was too torturous for the three new people, or it was anything else. Please pick up the phone, give me a yell. Any thoughts? What are your ideas? I want to know what you think we should be doing. I want to know what your concerns are, so that you can go from wandering around the building saying, where's the loo, to being up and running as quick as possible.